Can't get enough of the podcast? Lucky for you, our Video IQ platform on adorebeauty.com.au houses thousands of articles on skincare, makeup, haircare, and more. Plus, you can find a heap of video tutorials, ingredient spotlights, and brand breakdowns on our YouTube channel. Just click on Beauty IQ in the menu bar of the website or app, or search Adore Beauty on YouTube for more beauty content.
Adore Beauty acknowledges First Nations people as the traditional owners across the lands and waters of Australia. We recognise and pay our respects to elders past, present and future whose lands were never ceded. Welcome back to Beauty IQ, the podcast. I'm your host, Hannah First.
And I am your summer co-host, Melissa Mason.
Hannah, have you been to a hen's party of late?
I've got one coming up.
Is there a theme?
There probably is. I just can't remember it right now. There definitely is. I need to look at the
You're
invite.
That person that reopens the invite like 3 days before and you're like, oh my God, it's disco themed. Well, I went to one a few weeks ago and it was the best. I love them. I want to start out by saying hen's parties are so much fun. I feel like it's the ultimate girly, tizzy, let's go out, let's go crazy night. You have a really good time. Everyone becomes friends. It's very wholesome, even though it's quite debaucherous at the same time. But I just forgot how hard you go on a hen's party. It's not a night. I went to say hen's night. It's never a night. It usually starts at like 10 in the morning.
That's true.
Ours started, I think, at 11.
You always see hen's parties around where I live. They're doing silent discos in the street.
That's in the so early cute. Afternoon.
I feel so embarrassed for them, but I know how happy and how much fun they're having.
Yeah. You're like, you look ridiculous, but I love it for you.
Love.
By 2 p.m., I'd spilt espresso martini down my whole dress. So there was this huge coffee stain down the front. Like, I'm sweaty. My hair, I'd straightened it, but the humidity and the dancing had turned it into this, like, bird's nest. Makeup running down my face. Like, we looked revolting. And we were going until 2 in the morning. This was at 2 p.m., so 12 hours later.
My
like,
God.
I'd lived a life in that outfit. I needed to basically burn the dress at the end of it because I was like, this should never be worn again.
How did you go the next day?
Well, this is the thing. Because when I was in my early 20s and stuff, that was normal. You get up the next day and you're like, I'm fine. I could run a marathon today after that night out. But when we're doing these hens parties, we're in our like 30s, late 20s into your 30s, right? I'm in my late 30s now. It takes me 4 days to pull up after a big night these days. Like, the hydrolytes are flowing. I'm like tired. I'm going to bed at 9 p.m. for like 3 nights after. Like, it is tough and they just keep coming. My sister's is coming up. How are we doing this to ourselves in our 30s? We're trying to have a party like we're 21, but we're not 21 anymore in body. And yeah, it's just chaos.
That's a long day, 14 hours. That would be exhausting even if there was no drinking involved. Like, a 14-hour day is exhausting no matter what.
I'm just so impressed with our stamina. Like, how are all us 30-somethings doing it? But yes, look, do you know what is great is that if you do have a hens party coming up, this is the time for you to jump on the Depops, the eBays, because all the Taylor Swift Eras Tour outfits, they are up for sale.
Yeah, and so true.
The Venn diagram of Taylor Swift Eras Tour and hens parties is the same circle. The limit does not exist. So you've got outfits galore there, Hannah, if you need one. But look, what is on today's episode?
So on today's episode, we are chatting about our shared bathing experiences. Then we have Tegan Mack coming on to talk about chest pigmentation and, of course, the products we didn't know we needed. So today we are talking about some of our experiences with, would you call them bathhouses or would you call them like day spas? Or it's a kind of a mixture of both?
Ooh, it's a mix. I feel like you guys in Melbourne have a lot of bathhouses.
The way I describe it is like there's like usually a sauna. There's usually some sort of cold plunge.
Yes.
There might be a hot pool.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably a steam room. So let's just call it a bathhouse. I don't know if it's specifically a bathhouse, but let's call it that. I discovered these in Bali. They call it a spa, but there's a spa in Bali. It's called Ammo and they've got like two saunas, two steam rooms, two ice baths, two cold plunges. It's amazing. And a pool. I love going there. However, I'm really prone to accidents. And the last time that I was there, as I was coming out of the cold plunge, I tripped and fell. And Nick was there with me and I start like screaming and there's like a, you know, when you injure yourself and something, it becomes like a golf ball. I don't know if all the blood rushes to the wound.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it blew up as a golf ball and I'm hobbling back. He's kind of half carrying me back to sit down. My mum thought this was so funny. And I said to him, I don't know why, but I said, I need to vomit. And I had to like hobble to the bathroom and I vomited.
Oh God.
The fall, I think, really shocked me. Has that ever happened to you where you've like gotten really nauseous?
It's never happened to me, but I felt nauseous. Yeah, I've never vomited from it, but I know exactly what it's like. It's almost like maybe all the adrenaline rushes into
you. Yes. I told my mum, she started crying. She was laughing so much. She was like, you vomited.
No empathy from her at all. She's just like, this is hilarious. Something I find revolting with spas, and it's not every spa, because I'm going to tell you about one that I went to in Australia that I loved, but sometimes I go to them and there's just too many people. Mm-hmm. And then my mind immediately is like, essentially I am having a huge bath with like 20 other people in their swimmers. Mm-hmm. I just think of the dead skin. Mm-hmm. I think of Band-Aids in the pool when I was little, like, you know, when you would do swimming lessons and then you'd look down, there were like floating Band-Aids along the bottom of the pool. I think of toe funguses. I think of athlete's foot, plantar warts. There's a lot of things that I associate with watery surfaces and I just can't get out of my head. So if there's too many people there, I can't do it. And I've actually left spas where I've gotten in and I'm like, there's just way too many people here. I actually can't enjoy myself. I'm not going to have a good time because I'm surrounded by people. That being said, what I do love is the rise of a private spa experience. So there's this one I went to in Canberra called Adytum. Mm-hmm. Adytum, if you want to Google it. It is stunning. It's pretty new. And I went once on a weekend with my mum. And so it was me and my mum. So you can do private like with a group or private on your own. And like the cost is a little higher, but it's not outrageously expensive from memory. And you just have your own cold plunge and your own little miniature bath. And so then I'm like, okay, well, I'm just having a bath with mum, which is sort of weird and throwback to when I was a little kid, but also much less revolting to me than like a bunch of strangers, you know? So I think that's, for me, that's how it's going to have to be going forward.
I agree. So my issue when I go, I try not to think about being barefoot or like sitting on someone else's ass sweat in the sauna. Like I try not to think about it. I try to block it out of my mind and I try to enjoy the experience. So that probably doesn't bother me as much. Yeah. But what, and I always like, you know, you're meant to shower as soon as you get out of the sauna before you go into the cold plunge. But the one thing that does bother me is gossip in the sauna. When Nick and I were in Bali at the sauna, we would sit there and we'd whisper really quietly. And then the other person in the sauna would be like, it's okay, you can talk. So like, we were like, oh, okay, this person's okay with us talking. So we would have a chat. But I've been to one in Melbourne and the sauna is really small and you get in there and there's like three girls 10 years younger than I am and they're talking about their friend and it's like, and I'm trying to relax. Fair. You want to have a gossip session in the sauna or you're talking about the weekend or whatever, but I'm there to relax and I am just, my ears are just like I can't, I just want to relax.
Like nails on a chalkboard. Yeah. Can I tell you though, I went to the elite level of bathhouses, as in I went to Japan and went to an onsen and it is the most confronting experience because
naked.
Let's start with naked. Everyone is naked and you're all getting in the water together naked. Okay. And add on this layer that in Beppu, where I went, the history of onsens is that they actually use them traditionally for bathing. Like it's not like a relaxation thing. It's a place that you go for. It's really amazing, actually. And I would love to go into like a deeper chat about it because there's things about skin healing and certain minerals in the water and stuff. But predominantly, from a cringy perspective, you are washing with people. People are washing their pits in there. That is happening. And I got in with these two older ladies, which was amazing. They were having a little gossip sesh, but in Japanese. And I'm sort of sitting there. I was like, oh, I was just like crouched like in the corner. Like, I didn't really know what to do. You're not supposed to like touch too many surfaces. So I'm sort of just like leaning. I didn't want to sit on the bottom of the floor because I was like, that's where all the Band-Aids would go. And so I'm just sort of like huddled in the corner. I don't know if you can imagine me nude huddled in the corner trying to hide my nipples under the surface. Oh. And then these ladies said something to me and I was like, oh, sorry, I don't speak Japanese. And they said, oh, beautiful. And I was like, any other time I would like this. When I'm nude in an onsen, I'm mildly concerned.
Are you allowed to get into the onsen not nude, or it's a nude-only policy?
Nude only. You have to shower beforehand, which I think would make everyone feel a lot better. And yet the rules are strict and you need to be naked. Mm. But you kind of get over it, and then you're kind of like this lovely freedom of being around all these women nude. Like, there's something like empowering about it. Not for the faint-hearted, I would say.
One of our favorite guests is back. Skin therapist Tegan Mack joins us to chat through how we can avoid chest pigmentation and the treatments that are available. Welcome back, Tegan.
Oh my God, it's so good to be back. I'm so excited.
So nice to meet you. And look, to kick us off, can you tell us the most common causes of chest pigmentation?
Yes. So 80% of aging and pigmentation comes from the sun. So the sun is number one, the most prevalent factor that people should be concerned about. But there are a couple other sneaky things that people might not realize. I mean, there's tanning beds, which God forbid people are still doing those. Another one is spraying perfume on the neck. Oh. A lot of people spray perfume on the neck, and it can cause pigmentation, redness. You'll see it on a lot of older ladies from spraying directly on skin.
I had no idea.
So that's another thing you should be careful of as well.
I do that all the time.
Perfume, yeah. And then blue light. Blue light's becoming more of a thing, to the capacity of which not the same as the sun, I don't think.
Oh, yeah. My God.
And that's like computer light? Is that what we're talking about when we say blue light?
Phone light, like any kind of tech. So that's why people say, oh, I don't really go outside, I don't wear sunscreen. Just wear it every day regardless, because the light is coming for you.
I guess we all know that using SPF is super important. You mentioned that the sun would be one of the main causes of chest pigmentation. So how can sun exposure impact chest pigmentation, and what sun protection do you recommend in this area?
Well, UVB are the rays that burn you. UVA are the rays that age you. So they're the ones you have to be careful of. So some people don't get sunburn, so they think, I just tan, therefore I'm not a risk of the sun. My skin loves the sun.
Right.
UVA can impact any skin color, no matter how dark. So anyone can get darkening from the sun, which will cause aging. So the best way to protect yourself is to use a 50 plus. I wouldn't use anything less than a 50 plus. And in Australia, we have the strictest sunscreen testing and standards. So I wouldn't even buy a sunscreen from overseas, because like a 50 plus in America might be a 18 here. So an Australian 50 plus is the way to go. And just applying it face and neck, always bring it all the way down. So think about, you know, if you're doing your makeup in your PJs, but then you get changed and you're wearing a low neck top, you want to make sure that you have put the sunscreen all the way down to where the skin is going to be exposed, and then reapply. Sunscreen's not going to do anything after, you know, 2 to 4 hours. So you have to reapply. And if you're not wearing makeup on your chest, that's a really easy area to reapply. Whack it on there. It ages you so much having a sun-damaged chest.
With sunscreen, because like obviously face sunscreens, like they're smaller bottles, they're often a bit more expensive because they've got skincare ingredients in them. Do you recommend using your face sunscreen all the way down to your chest? Or if someone was sort of looking to be a bit more budget conscious, could they use like a body sunscreen on their chest instead?
I mean, it's always good to treat the neck and chest like an extension of the face. So ideally, everyone should be using their skincare all the way down. So their serums, their moisturizers, you go all the way down and treat the whole area as the face, because it's all going to age the same, if not quicker on the chest because the skin's thinner there. If you are budget conscious and you don't want to use your face sunscreen all the way down, then absolutely any sunscreen that, you know, has good quality ingredients will do the job. As long as it's giving you that sun protection, that's the most important thing.
Have you guys seen that? I think it was a dermatologist posted it. She had a patient that she worked outside, and so her arms had been exposed to the sun every day, but then she always wore pants. And have you seen that?
Yes.
The difference in the leg skin versus the arm skin.
It's like a 10-year-old's legs an 80-year-old's arm.
Yeah, that's exactly what it looks like. Yeah. It was wild.
And have you seen the ones where they say they can see like half of the side of the face?
Yeah, that one's wild.
It's crazy. Yes. And like most of us are driving cars. Yeah. So like that's happening to us too. Mm.
My driving arm has so many more moles on it than my non-driving arm. And like so many more moles. Like if I look at my left arm, there's 3 moles. And on my right, just from looking at the top, I can see about 10. And like, I get my skin checks done every year without fail. So thankfully they're all okay. But like, it is wild as you get older that you see that, like the impact of the sun when it's every day.
At the clinic, when we do our observed skin scans in our consultations, often people have way more sunspots on their driver's side of the face. Like, it's very clear that even from just being in the car is causing a lot of sun damage. And people also don't count in the car as being outside, but we see it in the clinic. The right side of the face often gets sunspots a lot more than the left side. So we've got to be careful out here in the streets.
You've got to look after yourself in the car. I actually bought driving gloves that are amazing. They're like long, like opera gloves, and I actually love them because they're so dramatic.
Yeah, absolutely. And you look classy.
Exactly. Hey, so what about genetics? Because obviously genetics must play a role with pigmentation, right?
Yeah. So like I said, 80% is coming from external factors, lifestyle, the sun, and that goes with anything to do with aging. A lot of it is from the food we eat, the stress, smoking, alcohol, sun exposure. But obviously, if you come from a background like an English, Scottish, Irish kind of background, you're going to be more prone to freckling. I'm prone to freckling, always have been since I'm a kid. But in the areas like my stomach and back that don't get sun, I don't have any freckles or I have minimal. So like, even though I'm genetically predisposed to freckling, the sun is what has triggered more freckles.
Yeah.
So what are the professional treatments for removing chest pigmentation or reducing the appearance of chest pigmentation, and how do they work?
The main one I would say would be light-based treatments or energy-based treatments. So your lasers, IPL, BBL, and some of them work by shattering the pigment. Then there are your resurfacing lasers that lift a layer of skin off. So if it's superficial pigment on the surface, it takes that layer of skin away. They're probably the most effective, also not pregnancy safe, which is when skin needling can be a great option. And we do mesotherapy here, where we're actually needling cocktails of serums into the skin. So we can pick brightening cocktails for pigment management, pigment control. Then you've got your peels as well. If lasers, you know, freak you out, peels can be great for lifting surface pigment. But for the deeper stuff, lasers and, you know, outside of pigment, if you do have pigment on the chest, you've probably got skin thinning and redness. So a combination of all those treatments is probably going to be what's best. The anti-aging stuff, the brightening stuff, the anti-redness stuff. So never, I would say, just hone in on one treatment. Do a variety to get the best result and do them multiple times. Don't just do something once or you'll kind of be underwhelmed, I reckon.
I know someone that was talking to me about her chest pigmentation, and she was kind of like tossing up between, is it Cosmolan, which is that really intense peel, versus the really intense laser?
Okay. So Cosmolan, I don't offer Cosmolan, so ingredients wise, I can't say specifics, but it is working in a totally different way. One is using ingredients to lift a layer of skin. The other one, depending on the type of laser, is either shattering just the pigment. So a lot of lasers look for a chromophore, whether it be the blood, the pigment, and just targets that, whereas Cosmolan you're doing on the whole entire area. So some people like Cosmolan for melasma because it's not heat-based. People with melasma can't have lasers. For chest pigmentation, I would be more inclined to do laser. Because of that intense peeling that you get with Cosmolan and the skin being so thin on the chest, and if you don't have limitations to using a laser, I would probably stick with a laser.
And what about home treatments? Like, are there any chest pigmentation treatments you can do at home, or is this one to leave for the professionals?
Yeah, definitely for the professionals, because you need something powerful and you just can't replicate that at home. Skincare, absolutely. Everyone should be using skincare anyway, especially if you're going to invest in professional treatments. But yeah, I wouldn't say there's any at-home topical treatment that you could do that's going to give you a significant result as quick as a treatment would professionally.
Right.
With the at-home skincare, what kind of ingredients should we be looking for?
So your vitamin C, great for brightening, but also great for collagen production. So thickening the skin and brightening. Retinol also helps to regulate the cells, also anti-aging. Licorice root extract is a popular one. Kojic acid, arbutin, and other tyrosinase inhibitors. Niacinamide is a great one. So your vitamin B, anti-inflammatory, antioxidant, but also interrupts the melanin production. So we have to think you've got the pigment there. So a treatment's going to help reduce that, but your skincare is there to help prevent, yeah. Because otherwise you're just going to be in this cycle of always needing to get something done, which I would say is a bit of a waste of money. So your skincare is there to protect and maintain, and then your treatments are there to really reduce past damage and great for anti-aging. All of this stuff, so good for anti-aging, thickening the skin, healthier skin, which is going to make such a difference as you get older, because you can have a young, hot face and then an old, raggedy neck, and that's not the vibe. We want the whole area, including the hands. People forget the hands. They're real telltale signs of, you know, how much sun damage someone's had. You can look at their hands and chest, and it's a real giveaway. So an area not to be neglected for sure.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I actually am just more like concerned about the driving and the face and the arms, like just the impact of the sun on these areas that we don't think of. I think we've really learned a lot about looking after the skin on our face, and obviously when we are going to the beach or when we're going to be outdoors like playing sport, but it's that everyday impact.
Mm. And you think about men's chest versus women's. Why do women have so much more sun damage on their chest? Because we wear low-cut tops and they're often in like a crew t-shirt.
Yeah.
So we need to be really thinking of all those times where we could be exposed that is not the beach.
Yeah, exactly.
When you think of that photo where the woman had the legs covered, it's like you're like, if you think of like your bum skin is like looks yes. so much younger. It's so young.
Yeah. We should do a comparison of butt cheek to face cheek.
100%. You'll get clients coming in and you'll be like, okay, I need to see your butt. Immediately.
This is what I know your skin is capable of. I want you to have a butt face.
This is where we can be.
That's the goal. Oh, thanks so much for coming on, Tegan, and chatting to us about this. It's been so informative.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's always good to come on and chat to you girls.
So, Hannah, what is the product you didn't know you needed this week?
So I never tried the Ordinary moisturizers. People love the Ordinary. And I actually didn't know there were three different moisturizers. So they're all natural moisturizing factors, but then they all each have like a different plus. I think that the OG was the plus HA.
Mm.
It's 100 mils. It's $22.
I know, it's amazing.
30 cents.
Crazy.
The other one, which I have tried, was the plus beta glucan.
Oh, okay.
And then there's another one, which is plus phytoceramide. So this is sort of like a PSA. I had no idea there were three. So I actually got this one. So the one that I've used is the natural moisturizing factors plus beta glucan. And I put it on and I was like, wow, like it's a full gel texture. And I thought the Ordinary had one moisturizer. And I was like, oh, this is interesting that this is their like one and only moisturizer. This is like perfect for like a combo / oily skin type, I would say, because it's like a gel texture and it sort of, like I've got it on right now. Can you see it's like completely dried kind of down? Like it's
yeah,
it's,
like mattifying almost, like not, but not in a way that you look flat. Like it just,
I would say oil-free. Like that it's actually probably good for oily, because like I can feel that it's kind of like dried down. When you put it on, it's a little bit sticky and then it kind of dries and then it's not sticky anymore. I would say your skin looks more hydrated, but it's not, you're not going to look oily or like, and I would say it's probably quite a nice base underneath if you were doing makeup and you didn't want like, you know, too much oil coming through. Because sometimes when I'm doing my makeup, I don't want to put like a rich moisturizer under, because I'm already gonna like sweat, especially at the moment it's like 38 degrees in Melbourne. I will talk about the one that I've used in terms of like the ingredients. So beta glucan, that promotes hydration. So the natural moisturizing factors, which is in all three moisturizers, it's got humectants in there, so that's really great for hydration. And then this one has ceramides as well.
Oh, that's great.
So the OG one, which is the plus HA, got hyaluronic acid, and it's also got amino acids. And then the phytoceramides, which is a little bit more expensive. I believe this one's a bit more of a richer kind of emollient cream. Mm-hmm. That one has got phytoceramides in it. So I would say each one has probably a different consistency. I haven't used the other two, but this one in particular is like, it's a full like gel texture.
That's so good.
What's your product?
Well, I have a more expensive product today. We're back to vitamin A. I feel like on this podcast, it's like the quest for vitamin A serums. So mine today is the Aesthetics RX A Serum 1%. So I use this, I was hesitant to use it because every time I use a vitamin A, a retinol, my skin just freaks out. Every now and then, sometimes it's fine, sometimes it hates it. Trying a new one is always a bit terrifying, but I love it. I'm at the moment, I'm still in the stage of using it twice a week. I used it yesterday and now I won't use it probably until maybe like the weekend, like Saturday night maybe, just because I'm trying to ease into it. But no issues so far, like in terms of irritation or anything. Doesn't sting when I put it on. Skin's fine the next day. Have had no flaking or dryness, which is, you know, obviously great. Yeah, so it's not cheap. It's $129. Like, I mean, for a vitamin A serum, honestly, that's probably like ballpark normal. But it's quite a big bottle and like it's a small pump that does your whole face. So it will last you.
I've used it.
Have you used it? What did you think?
Yeah. So I wouldn't use it every day. I'd build up, but I like, because it's a creamy texture.
Yeah, that's what I liked too.
And I really like Aesthetics RX products. The vitamin C and vitamin B I love, and I really liked this vitamin A too.
Well, because it's also got ceramide 3 in it, which I think the best way for me with my skin with retinol is when it's inside a quite a hydrating skin barrier supporting cream is when it's worked well for me. When it's just like a straight up, like, let's just go in hard with the vitamin A, I'm like, oh God, my skin's freaking out. And I think that's what a lot of people have said about this too. So one of the reviews I read was such a gentle retinol and one of the best I've used. It doesn't dry my skin out like other strong retinols and it's quite hydrating, would definitely recommend. Mm. So yeah, look, I think maybe it's a good one if you have been using a low percentage retinol and you want to kind of make that step up but you're a bit nervous, this could be a good one to take that next step with. Mm-hmm. I had a very funny moment the other day, Hannah, because I just said to my mum, I'm staying at my parents' house now because I've moved out of my apartment and I'm in limbo until I move to the Northern Territory, which is such a weird place to be. And I said to my mum, oh, I've got to record the podcast with Adore Beauty. And she goes, what? And I was like, the podcast that I do like every week. And I have done it at your house before and I've talked to you about it many times. And she's like, oh, I didn't know you did a podcast with Adore Beauty. I love Adore Beauty. And then she went into this long rant, not right rant, like a long, I guess, conversation about why she loves Adore Beauty. And she shops on there all the time. And of course said, and I really love it because I get a Tim Tam when I place my order. And I was like, how do you not know what I do for a job at this point?
Yeah, because you've written here, parents really don't know what their kids do for work vibe. Yeah. I love that.
I honestly don't think my parents understand what my job is. Do yours?
So I have a really chaotic week. Like I work across 4 brands during the week and then I am doing this writing course on the side. And my parents, I swear my dad, because my dad calls me a lot, he'll call me and go, so what did you do today? And I'll tell him. And he's like, he never knows what I'm doing, where I'm going to be. Like, and my mum's the same. Like, they don't know what my schedule is. They can't, you know, my mum will be like, hey, do you want to go do this? I'm like, I'm working today. And so they're very confused by my schedule about moving across different things.
Yeah, it's a scheduling issue. They're like, I don't know when she's going to be able to come up for dinner because she could be anywhere at this point.
And I love my mum's, her response, like if I'm like having a whinge about something related to what I'm doing during the week, she's always just like, well, just like leave. Like she's always like on my side about everything. Yeah. I don't know if your mum's like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know.
They're like, there's no like balance. They're just like, you are obviously in the right, even if you're probably being like
obviously
DeLulu.
You're always in the right about everything. Yeah.
Yeah, always. Do you know what I really want to do for my parents, but also with friends? Have you seen any of the TikToks or reels of like PowerPoint presentations about what you do for a job? And it's like a group of friends gets together for a Friday night, but instead of just like having the drinks with the girls, they're like putting together PowerPoint presentations to explain what their job is to other people.
I have not seen this.
Oh, it's so good. And I feel like I need it for people in my life because as much as I say my mum doesn't know what I do for a job, I've got a friend who works in like marketing, right? And you have marketing in your background. I don't understand what she does. Like, I'm like, what are you doing? Because it's not advertising, but it's not like editorial, it's marketing. And it's like when people say they work in finance, I'm like, in my mind, you're like counting money, like notes in a little box is what finance is to me. I'm like, I couldn't tell you beyond that what you would possibly be doing. So I feel like a PowerPoint prezo is the way forward.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thanks everyone for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe and tell your friends. It helps other people to discover us. And we'd love to know what you thought about this podcast. So if you could leave us a review, that would be much appreciated.